Welcome to Booty and Bossy Eat, Drink, Net. This is episode 26. And I recently celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to Booty.
Yes, it was so excellent and made even more excellent by the gifts that Bossy sent me, which included our delicious recipe for this episode. This is Bossy's famous granola. And I love this granola for so many reasons. Bossy usually puts it in our Christmas package. So that's excellent. This granola is excellent as a breakfast, just with milk, or I really like it with plain yogurt. I'm trying to be a little healthy here. Plain yogurt and fruit. And it's also great as just a snack or to sprinkle on a applesauce or whatever you have going on.
Oh, that's a good one.
Do you do it on your muffins?
I don't, because it has dried fruit in it. I have sometimes left the dried fruit out and then used it as a muffin topping, or you could put it on the pumpkin bread as a topping, but you probably wouldn't do that with the dried fruits in it.
If you want to look up the pumpkin bread, it is episode four. Pumpkin bread from episode four. You can look that up, make it. But so walk us through the recipe.
I'm not exactly sure where I got this recipe. I've been making it for about half a dozen years, and I've honed it over the years. I know that Ina Garten has a recipe for homemade granola in her very first cookbook, the Barefoot Contessa Cookbook, published in 1999. I have to say, it should be called mainly dried fruit with a hint of oats. It has 4.5 cups of dried apricots, figs, cherries, and cranberries. And then Marion Cunningham, she wrote the breakfast book, which is one of my favorite cookbooks. Hers is the opposite and has no dried fruit. So this is the just right, I think, the right amount of oats and grains and seeds. I like it because it's flexible, because you can. If you really like dried fruit, you can add more. If there's another kind of grain or something that you like, or seed, you can put that in. The only thing that's probably not as flexible is the technique, because this is sort of the thing that I have learned through trial and error, how to get that right amount of toasting and the sort of process for making it. But the ingredients are flexible.
So you don't have to respect the proportions, but you do have to respect the technique.
Yes, you must respect the process. You don't need to respect the proportions. The other thing I like about this is you can, if you are wanting to cut back on sugar, which one of us in our family was told at a recent doctor's appointment that, unlike our 3-year-old husky, who came back from the vet appointment with ideal body weight and excellent lean muscle tone, others in our family did not come back with ideal body weight and excellent muscle tone. So you can cut the sugar back. You can cut it in a third, you can cut it in a half. I'm going to give you the full amount and then I'll tell you the cutting back part. It makes a lot. That's one of the great things about, that's why it makes a great gift. Is you can give it to a lot of people and you'll still have plenty left. It basically makes 2 full 1 gallon Ziploc bags full, which is a lot. It keeps really well. It's also very gratifying to make. You can walk down the cereal aisle at the grocery store among the ever-shrinking boxes, and don't think we don't notice that the boxes are thinner, General Mills. We notice.
Getting smaller, and you're chintzing us.
They're chintzing us, and I think they're just going to get thinner and thinner until they're going to be like sheets that you put in your washer now instead of using. But anyway, so you can feel very superior knowing that you have made your own granola. But you must respect the process.
Yes.
Yes. So here are the ingredients. And basically what you're going to do is mix this stuff together. I use Red Mills, and I actually took a picture of all of the ingredients. So I will put that in
Sure.
the show notes. Well, I'll send it to you to put in the show notes.
Yeah, I do all of the website
Yep.
stuff. But Bossy writes the newsletters, so that's
I do that, yeah. So you get a big bowl out, probably the biggest bowl that you have, and you put in a whole 32-ounce bag of Red Mill rolled oats, the extra thick kind, not the instant. One 12-ounce package of Red Mill shredded unsweetened coconut, 1 cup of oat bran, 1 cup of sesame seeds, and then 1 cup of golden flax seeds whole. So you put that in a big bowl. And then in the microwave, you put in 2/3 of a cup either of vegetable oil or canola oil, 1 cup of honey. And then if you're doing the full sugar amount, you put in 1.5 cups of packed brown sugar. It can be dark, it can be light, whatever you have. For the lower sugar, you can either cut that in half, or the one I sent you was actually only 1/2 cup of packed brown sugar.
I thought it was plenty. I did not feel cheated because, yeah, you're still getting a cup of honey and half a cup of brown sugar. I felt like it was perfect. And I did not use sweetened yogurt. Definitely, you don't need it. But even with the plain yogurt, I didn't feel like, sure, I could have added another big
Yes.
dollop of honey or something, but I did not. Yeah.
Full of self-control.
It was impressive. I was impressed myself.
Yes.
Yes.
You put the oil and the honey and the sugar in a 4 cup measuring cup, put it in the microwave for 3 minutes. So you're just kind of heating it up. Then you stir it together and then you add 2 tablespoons, heaping tablespoons of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of salt, a tablespoon of your homemade vanilla, and then the zest of an orange. And you m put all of that in the liquid, mix it together, and then you pour it over all of the grains. And this is where it gets a little messy. Stir it together and then take 2 cooking sheets. I would say like the jelly roll, the ones that have about an inch high, line them with parchment and divide up, and then you kind of have to mix it with your hands to get all of that liquid evenly coated. And then you put it for 350 degrees for 12 minutes. You want to make sure, and this is the process, you want to make sure that it's an even layer, because if you've got a little bit on the edges where it's not as thick as, say, in the middle, it's going to burn on the edges. So you put it in there for 12 minutes and then you take it out, you stir it around, but again, make sure it's got a neat edge and it's evenly. Then you stick it back in for another 12 minutes and then you take it out again. And then this is where I usually put about 1 cup of sliced almonds, put that on top, mix it together. So the almonds, they cook more quickly. So you just want to put the almonds in at the very end. And you're going to cook that for 10 minutes. And then you put about 1 cup for each of cookie sheets. Okay. So total of about 2 cups of almonds, but 1 cup for each of the cookie sheets. And then I usually, and again, this is to taste, I usually put 1 cup of dried cherries and 1 cup of dried cranberries. And you put that on right after the granola has come out the third time. And you mix it together, but you're not cooking the dried fruit because it'll burn. But you are mixing together while it's hot. And then you let it sit and it becomes this giant granola brick when you let it just cool sitting in the pan. And then you can break it up into pieces once it's fully cooled. And I usually put it either in a sealed jar or you can use a Ziploc bag. So that's the big thing, is just making sure it's even. And stirring it every 12 minutes. I use Alexa. Let me know when the 12 minutes is up. And you really have to stir it. I would even, if you're worried about it, stir it every 10 minutes. It definitely gets browner on the bottom. So you've got to use, this is the other thing, you need to use a silicone spatula because otherwise it's going to stick to it and get sticky messy. But that's
Excellent.
granola. It's healthy-ish.
And it's delicious.
It's delicious.
Well, and I do think, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I always find if you have some kind of sugar cereal or something like that, that it you just don't get very far. An hour later, I'm like, when's lunch? You know, when's my mid-morning snack? But with the granola, it lasts for a lot longer. So I think you're better off having that and going further, at least for me.
No, I definitely agree. It's definitely a lot heartier than and will stay with you longer rather than the shrinking boxes of General Mills cereal. I
Yes.
hope they're listening. Like the Frito-Lay people, they must be related to the Frito-Lay people.
I think they are.
Yes.
They're cheating us. So now in the granola, you do not have to respect the proportions. But when you're knitting, there's my transition.
Oh, lovely transition to boot.
We wanted to talk about a gauge swatch. Actually, I think Patty Lyons, she wrote a book called Knitting Bag of Tricks, and she has a whole chapter on gauge. She heard when she was teaching at a conference, she was behind two students who were talking about what classes they were taking. And one of them said, "I'm taking a class on how to make gauge work." And her friend rolled her eyes and said, "Ah, the class nobody wants and everyone needs." And that's kind of how most people feel about gauge. I think when you're a new knitter, you kind of assume, okay, I have my pattern, and my pattern says I need this yarn, and this is how much yarn I need, and these are the needles. And I'm just gonna knit the pattern with that,
And
even.
it's going to come out looking exactly like the picture.
And it's gonna be just like the picture, it's gonna be the right size and everything. Well, there's this little area in the pattern that says gauge. And that is because everybody knits differently. And I don't mean like continental versus growing or Portuguese or whatever. And even the same knitter at one time in their life will knit tighter or looser than at other times. And so you have to kind of test it out. And I think most knitting experts would say that you want to look at it as you're dating your yarn to see if this is going to be a good match for this project. Because it's not just about can I get the yarn to be that gauge? It's not just kind of a numbers game. It's do I like that yarn at that gauge? Will that look good? Because we don't.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty rare. I mean, I think it's one thing if you're using a yarn that the pattern, I remember making a poncho that they had at Webb's, America's Yarn Store. They had it featured in one of their catalogs, and I actually liked it so much that I made it from the same yarn that was specified in the pattern. And so there, I was kind of looking at it more in terms of sizing, but it's pretty rare that I think that's the only time I've ever knit something where I was actually using the yarn that was recommended by the pattern. So anytime you're going to go off the script with a different kind of yarn, that said, I do hate knitting swatches.
I don't like knitting swatches. I always feel like, well, first of all, it's an extra day because,
Yes.
at least for me, it can take me a couple hours to knit a swatch. And then I've got to block it and then it's got to dry at least overnight. So that's a whole day.
I know.
But in the long run, I have learned this the hard way. Don't do what I've done, that you're much better off knitting your gauge swatches than you are ripping out a whole sweater because you realize, or giving it to your little niece because, or in my case, my daughter, Because they're much smaller.
She does say, I love this. If you don't have time to swatch, save time to rip out your sweater.
So depressing. And I hear you, Patty, when you're trying to put a positive spin on this and say, hey, this is knitting and knitting is fun. I'm not buying
I do have to say that I agree with you completely that there's a way that when I'm ready to start a project, I've got the yarn, I've wound it off, and I'm ready to start. And the idea of knitting a swatch and then washing it and blocking it just seems like a deferral, which should be something that I don't mind because I procrastinate with everything else.
it.
But for some reason, when I want to start a project, it's like, okay, let's go.
Right.
Hurry up and wait. That said, every knitter should try and weave at least one project because if you're a weaver, basically it's like knitting 50 swatches to set up a loom, winding the warp and then dressing the loom and threading every thread through. And if you've got 500, it's like threading 500 needles, getting the tension right. So it takes you so long before you're actually doing the weaving
I didn't
that,
know that. Wow.
oh, yeah. No, I mean, it can literally take you days to dress a loom.
Wow.
The weaving is the fun and quick part. And in fact, the weaving often doesn't even take that long. It's all of the getting the loom ready so that you can weave. So, compared to weaving, knitting.
It's nothing. Oh, that's interesting. But once you set it up, you could
Yes.
do a whole bunch of that same
Oh,
project.
yeah. No, because it's so time consuming to set up a loom and dress it, usually when you set it up, you would set it up to weave five blankets. You might have 15 yards on there to weave. You also have wastage in there too. No, I mean, compared to casting on,
Yeah.
wrapping yarn around a one pointed stick.
And I mean, I get it's totally frustrating because oftentimes you knit a swatch and it's not the right gauge and or you don't like the fabric or whatever, something is wrong. So that means guess what? You have to do another swatch and maybe even three swatches.
I do have to say, I had a little bit of a breakthrough on this because I was knitting a blanket for my sister-in-law and I was picking out a pattern. I wanted to do something with cables, but of course, I was trying to knit it quickly. So I was using very bulky yarn. So I think you convinced me to do a swatch. And I realized, and this is where you get that, is this the right yarn for this project? And it's not even so much about gauge, but I had this pattern that had cables and stuff, and I had this idea that I wanted it to be like an Irish fisherman's knit sort of sweater, except it'd be a blanket. Using bulky yarn, it would have been a great sweater for a whale. I mean, it was huge. I mean, it would it just the pat you wouldn't have even been really able to get a sense of the pattern because the scale of it was so big. So that was my aha moment with gauge, where I realized, oh, this is it has to be the right yarn for the project. Oh, and it's not going to be in that case about needle size. So that was my aha moment.
It's a useful thing. My daughter was recently knitting something and she couldn't get gauge with the yarn that she had. It was not working. There's two things that can happen. One is that you get the bulky yarn with the two small needles because you're trying to fit it into this gauge. You're trying to get a 5 stitches to the inch with a super bulky yarn, and that's just not going to happen. And then you have a bulletproof vest. Or on the flip side, you've got a fingering weight yarn and you're knitting it on size 15 needles, and you have the mesh fabric. That reminds me of the time that Bossy and I went to the mall, and it was a Sunday. And for some reason, we weren't driving.
No, I think we took the bus there.
Yeah, I think we took the bus there and it was 4 miles away. We went shopping. I think I was maybe, I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt, saying like 10 or 11. That might have been a little older.
Let's just, for context, it was around the period I think of Jennifer Beals and Flashdance.
Yeah.
So we all wanted to be Jennifer Beals in Flashdance and wear mesh crop tops. Yes.
Wound up with a army green mesh crop top that, and I think an electric blue mini skirt. I don't know. I don't know if my plan was to wear them together, but anyway, and I actually don't think that I ever wore that beautiful top. And then because it was a Sunday, we didn't realize that the buses only ran to a certain time and then they stopped running. So there was no bus home. And we had to walk all the way home
Carrying our bag with our mesh army green crop top.
which was actually not that heavy. So there was that.
And I remember there were these guys. Now that I think about it, I'm like horrified. There were these guys that kept driving past us, and they were right out of Wayne's World. And they kept so I was saying, you girls want to ride? And we were like, no, we're enjoying walking next to the highway. Yeah.
Then they swing around, still
Still,
whatever.
we're like, well, we're almost there. I mean, we're not going to tell you where we live, but we're almost
Almost
there,
there.
you
Yeah, I have to say, they were a little bit creepy, but I didn't get horrible vibes from them. I think they were probably pretty nice guys, but
They did look
it
like
was
they were from Central Casting for Wayne's World.
yeah,
Thank
and
you.
nonetheless, we were definitely not getting into a car with strange guys. But
They might
yes,
have wanted to steal our mesh crop top too.
I
So,
know. To be clear, I was not wearing the mesh crop top when they said that. But yes, good times. Well, and we saw this video about gauge swatch. And do you want to talk about that?
well, I think you told me about it, but I loved it. It's the Moth Radio Hour where people get up and do short stories. It always is a theme. This theme was blunders. And this wonderful woman, Angie Chapman, I think it was recorded in Boston on April 10th, 2019. And it's on YouTube, so we'll put a link to it. She got up and talked about knitting, and her mother was an excellent in all of the fabric arts, and she was basically had Alzheimer's, so she took her mother's little floral pouch of needles home and started knitting. I love the way she described how knitting was every row was like a rosary. It allowed her to work through, as her mother didn't remember her name. She had six hats, and then tell about the blunder part. So it's sounding great
Well,
up until this point.
so it sounds very sad, but how knitting was her therapy through her mother's illness and rapid decline. And so she found this organization where you would knit blankets. Well, she wanted to do some more complicated things. And so this organization had a pattern for a blanket that I guess was more complicated. They would take the blankets, collect them, and then distribute them to Alzheimer's patients in nursing homes. And
And I think the title of the pattern was called Faith.
oh,
The
right.
pattern that she picked out was called Faith.
Right. And so she knit this blanket and she sent it. And then she said that the woman who runs it, she pictured her as wearing pearls in the shower. And that she sent this email to her. She didn't say what the hell happened, but she.
Yeah, that she sort of, it wasn't exactly what she said, but the way that she sort of read the email was basically not Thank you so much for this beautiful blanket, which what we would regard as the appropriate response. It basically, she wrote and said, "What the hell happened? You know, you this quote unquote blanket is basically the size of a placemat,
Right.
and it's a quarter of what it's supposed to be."
Turns out that there was a little something that she didn't know about because she's a pretty new knitter called gauge, and that she was knitting at the wrong gauge, and that's why her blanket was so tiny. So the woman said, okay, well, redo it and get it to us whenever you can. Then later, the woman said that she accidentally put the placemat blanket in with all the other blankets and it got distributed, and somebody chose it because they needed a blanket for their dog. And of course, they didn't have a real dog because they
Yes.
don't allow dogs in nursing homes, but they had a stuffed animal dog and they needed it for the stuffed animal dog.
Yeah, and she concluded by saying, faith is a very powerful thing, and anything done with love is never wasted. And I just thought that was a wonderful way to find the meaning there in her efforts, that it was a big enough blanket for something. There's a couple of faith moments there. There's sort of the faith that's it will be perfect for somebody, and that she did make it with love and thinking about her mother and how much she loved her mother. I think her mother had passed away at that point when she was making it. But also the woman who was running the program and who wears pearls in the shower, she had faith in her that she could knit
Right.
a blanket that would be the right size for a person, too, because I could see where she was like, she wasn't going to let her off the hook. Go
Yeah,
down and knit
that
that
was,
blanket, lady. You
yeah,
know.
I was thinking I would feel like, okay, well, I did knit a blanket, so I'm done, right? And I mean, what a wonderful cause and a wonderful story. So,
Yeah. Definitely watch it because it's only about 4.5 minutes long,
yeah.
but she does a wonderful job telling the story, and it's a much happier story of Gage in the end
That
than
is true.
maybe some of our other tales.
There should be like a Hunger Games for Gage watching. Maybe he's watching me forever in your favor.
Well, Booty, I think we've talked about how much we like granola and making it and feeling superior in the cereal aisle at the grocery store amid the ever-shrinking boxes of General Mills cereal. And we've talked about how you do need to do gauge swatches, even though you don't like it. And we like Patty Lyon's book too. I did feel sometimes like it was about problems I didn't know I had that then I could worry about. But a great reference book. I did learn a lot. Maybe we can sort
Yes.
of loop back to it in another episode. But
Yeah, I mean her chapter on gauge swatch alone is worth the price of the book, and there are so many great tips in there that I've referred to it countless times when I've been knitting. So yeah, definitely a good.
great, great for your book larder.
Yes.
And I think it's time to say, whatever you do, don't knit
Knit
like
like
my
my
sister,
sister.
and
And
don't buy mesh crop tops at the
Meeting Mall. Definitely
Plymouth
do
Meeting
not get
Mall.
in a car with guys you don't know. But do check out our show notes at bootyandbossy.com. And please do subscribe.
And tell your friends.
Yes, and thank you for all of you that have reached out to say they've made something and enjoyed it, and we'd love to hear from you.